Good morning and welcome to one and all. I'm so pleased to see that so many of you have braved this rain that is out there at the moment. Apparently we're due to have something like 6 weeks worth of rain over the country today. And I have to say it's well timed because we've just come back from a lovely sunny holiday in Bath. And it was in the car on the way back that it started raining, so we felt that that was timed quite nicely. But we obviously remember Graham and Corin as they head off for a few days away this week and hope that they won't be too drowned in their efforts. A couple of notices before we begin our service. Our Harvest Festival weekend is rapidly approaching. If you haven't yet signed up, but you have a star dish that you're able to contribute or help with, please do sign up with the various sheets. And if you would like to let us know that you are hoping to come, please do let us know. There are forms, I believe, in the porch, or you can do it online through the website. Other notices. There is the meal after the Red Lion, following the 11 o'clock service here at the Red Lion today. And next week, we do not have a service here on Sunday morning, because as the fifth Sunday of the month, I've taken the liberty of saying we're going to have a United Benefice service so that we can have the baptism of my son Alfred at Holy Trinity all together, because I know a number of people have said they would like to come to that when it's on. So we're combining the two services together, and it's going to be not just a baptism, but also a service of Holy Communion for the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels. Now, my training incumbent when I was a curate used to tease me relentlessly about angels, saying, "Why are you interested in those white, fluffy, winged things?" Because my MA dissertation was on the appearance of angels throughout common worship and BCP liturgies. So I find it very interesting, and so as such, we will have a proper celebration of St. Michael and All Angels with the baptism of Alfred. Afterwards, there will be tea and cake for those who would like to stay for refreshments. So you're all very warmly invited to come along to that. My last notice is a strange one. It's a contextualizing one, and it's to get us thinking before we begin our service. I wonder how many of you have heard of a man called Edward Kimball. Put hands up if you've got any ideas who Edward Kimball was. No. He was a Sunday school teacher in Boston in the late 1800s, 1858. As he was a Sunday school teacher, he would often spend his time with just a small handful of children at the back of their small church. But one of those children, as they grew up, seemed to be having difficulties while they were working in the local shoe shop. He went and had a conversation with him, and at the end of that conversation, that individual gave their life to Christ. And they became known as D.L. Moody, an American evangelist that went all around, not just America, but also much of England and various parts of Europe as well. While he was in England, he preached in a very small chapel, pastored by a young man called Frederick Mayer. And Frederick Mayer found his sermon so invigorating and encouraging that he then went and gave up everything he had to become an evangelist in America. It's going back and forth. Through his preaching ministry, a man called Wilbur Chapman came on to be an evangelist. And through his ministry, there was a man called Billy Sunday, whose preaching also brought many more to Christ. And inspired by a Billy Sunday crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, a group of Christian men dedicated themselves to reaching the city for Christ. They invited another evangelist called Mordecai Ham to come and hold a series of evangelistic meetings. This was 1932. And a local farmer loaded up his pickup truck with neighbors and brought them to the meetings. One 16-year-old boy there was infused by what he heard, gave his life to Christ, and would go on to become the evangelist we know as Billy Graham. Billy Graham came here on a number of crusades, preaching the gospel, and many people in England were affected by his teaching. My grandfather became a Christian because of a Billy Graham preacher. So, in a very real sense, I wouldn't be here without his ministry. And today, as we are gathered here in church in Tyler's Green, hundreds of pastors are meeting together in Seoul in South Korea for the 50th anniversary of the Lausanne Conference Network, which was set up and inspired by those who attended an event led by Billy Graham. And they are gathering together to reflect on how can the church universal throughout the whole world glorify Jesus Christ. And the key message that they are saying is that the universal church is the local church. The universal church of Christ is wherever Christ is found, not at large gatherings necessarily, but in our local churches, which is what we are here today. And all of this started when we trace it right the way back to this one Sunday school teacher with a handful of children in a small church in Boston. It really gives us pause for thought of the ripples that we might have in our communities and on those we meet if we're prepared to share the gospel with those we know and love. And so let that be our context as we stand and sing our first hymn, joining not just with each other, not just with the rest of the Church of England, but with Christians in every country and nation, speaking every different kind of language and every culture, as we sing our praises to God with our first song, As We Are Gathered, number 26, which we will sing through twice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Would you please be seated? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Pour your love into our hearts and draw us to yourself, and so at the last bring us to your heavenly city, where we shall see you face to face, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated to hear from our Bible readings.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, beginning to read at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, when he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from the Epistle of James, chapters 3 and 4, beginning to read at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us stand and sing our next hymn, number 377, Love Divine or Love's Excellence.
Thank you. hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant. They were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words on my lips and the thoughts in all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus knew that he was going places. Jesus had been making himself known throughout the world. His disciples knew he was going places. Now he and his disciples were on their way to Jerusalem. As more and more people came to know Jesus, they climbed aboard the bandwagon. The disciples weren't sure which direction Jesus would drive that bandwagon, but they hope he would take over the country, assemble an army, drive out the Romans. Then he would build a place in Jerusalem, as David had done many years earlier. Jesus could establish alliances with rulers of other countries. Before long, he would have everything sewn up. No one could touch him. When that happened, Jesus would need all the help he could get. So where would that leave the disciples? No one knew, but they knew that big changes were coming, and they were nervous. So they'd been arguing about who among them would be the greatest. It was obvious that Jesus had already marked Peter, James, and John for top positions. When Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, he'd taken Peter, James, and John into the house with him, while the rest of the disciples cooled their heels outside. When Jesus went to the mountain to meet Moses and Elijah, he took Peter, James, and John with him. It was clear that Jesus favored Peter, James, and John. So maybe the rest of them would be working for them. They liked Peter well enough, and they clearly had leadership potential. But Peter had a terrible temper and a tendency to shoot from the hip. You never knew what kind of crazy thing Peter might do next. The disciples liked Peter, but they weren't keen about working for him. He might be a disaster awaiting to happen. And James and John. You know what they call James and John? The sons of thunder. That's why they called him sons of thunder. How would you like to work for someone with a nickname like that? What if you worked for the sons of thunder and made a mistake? Would they erupt like a volcano? Would they fire you? Would they beat you up? Would you make you write on the blackboard, "I'll never do that again," 1,000 times? No one knew, and no one was anxious to find out. So the disciples had been arguing among themselves about which one was the greatest. Am I going to work for you, or are you going to work for me? When you get to the top, what would you like to accomplish? What about Bartholomew? Bartholomew was a quiet one. But you have to watch the quiet ones. Pretty soon the quiet ones would end up running the whole show. Or Simon the Zealot. If Jesus wanted to run off the Romans, Simon the Zealot would be the logical choice. No one hated the Romans like Simon. It was rumored that Simon kept a knife under his robe and knew how to use it. Would they all find themselves taking lessons in martial arts from Simon someday? No one knew. So they talked about it as they walked along. Hopefully all the 12 would be great, but who would be the greatest? Who would be the hero? Whose name would go down in history? They wondered about it, and they talked about it. They tried not to talk about it in front of Jesus, of course. You never know how Jesus might take things. The disciples had their private ambitions, but they preferred that Jesus didn't know about them. With their minds on such things, they hadn't really heard what Jesus had told them, what he was going to do. If they'd been listening, they might have been smarter. But they'd have been talking, not listening. When Jesus told them what he was going to do, they were busy about talking about who would be the greatest. So what had Jesus said? He told them he would be handed over to his enemies and killed. And he would rise again after 3 days. But the disciples hadn't been listening. Because isn't that what they didn't expect to hear? It certainly isn't what they wanted to hear. So when they got to Capernaum, Jesus took them inside a house, probably Peter's house, and asked, "What were you arguing about among yourselves on the way?" The disciples didn't know what to say. They were embarrassed. They looked at the ground and shuffled their feet. They felt like kids caught with their hands in the sweetie jar. No one answered, not even Peter, who had always had a quick answer on the tip of his tongue. Silence. Jesus didn't say, "I know what you were talking about." He didn't rebuke the disciples. He just sat down, because teachers always sat down to teach. He sat down and answered the question that had been in the back of their minds. What must we do to be great? Jesus said, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." What? You cannot be serious. Say that again. You know how it feels when your head is in one place, but the person you're listening to says something completely out of the blue. Say that again. Maybe I'll understand this time. Oh, of course, we knew that. But of course they didn't. They didn't have a clue. So Jesus called a little child and put the little child in their midst. He put the child inside the men's circle, where children are not allowed. Then Jesus took the child in his arms. In that time and place, a father might hug his own child, but rabbis didn't go around hugging children. But I can imagine Jesus pulling that child close, perhaps saying a kind word or asking a question. If Jesus asked a question, you can be sure that he waited for the child to answer. You can be sure that Jesus listened, that Jesus paid attention to the child. And while he did that, his disciples watched. But they still didn't have a clue. Then Jesus said, "Whoever receives one such little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me doesn't receive me, but the man, but him who sent me." And there you have it, a little sermon, the first children's sermon. But it wasn't a sermon for children, but a sermon about children. What did the sermon mean? What was Jesus talking about? In that culture, people had an obligation to receive people hospitably. When the travellers came, you have an obligation to feed them, to put them up overnight, to protect them, to treat them as family. That's what it meant to welcome someone. It meant to care for their needs, to help them, to feed them, to make them feel welcome, to make them feel like part of the family. The disciples weren't inclined to welcome children. They were inclined to run them off because children are noisy. They run and jump and drive adults crazy. They cry, they get dirty, they interrupt at the worst time. But Jesus said, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." The disciples had been talking about who was great, and Jesus was telling them about true greatness. Do we want to be great in the kingdom of God? Welcome a child? But it isn't just children whom we are to welcome. That child stood for anyone who is helpless, anyone who needs help, anyone who is small or defenseless or hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison. Jesus wants us to help people like that, to defend them, to feed them, to give them a cup of cold water, to welcome them, to clothe them, to visit them. Jesus says, "Most certainly I tell you, insomuch as you did to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me." The disciples had been arguing about who was the greatest. The church today still has a problem with that. People who want to be important, who are ambitious to be great. So who is the great in this church? Is it the preacher? I would like to think so, but it isn't the preacher. Is it the person who chairs the PCC? Is it the vicar? Is it the church warden? There's a lovely story about greatness. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is famous for her work that she did with people who were dying. She revolutionized the care that people in hospitals and hospices receive as they are dying. Millions of people have experienced gentler, kinder deaths because of her work. It all started when she noticed that a particular woman seemed to have a special touch with dying patients. The woman was a maintenance worker who made beds and cleaned rooms and emptied bedpans. But dying people always seemed to be more peaceful when she was around. Kubler-Ross asked the woman her secret. She said, "Well, I've been up the mountain and I've been down the mountain. I've lived in many valleys." She said, "The worst was when I went to a public clinic with my 3-year-old daughter in my arms. And before we could see a doctor, she died of pneumonia." She said, "I could have become cynical and angry, but instead, I decided to use my pain to help others." She said, "I'm no stranger to death, and that's why I'm not afraid to talk and touch those who are dying. I try to give them hope." Kubler-Ross promoted that woman. She made the woman a special counselor to the dying in that hospital. But Kubler-Ross didn't make the woman great. She just recognized that the woman was already great. The Apostle Paul probably said this in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in hope, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil." Amen.
Let us pray. Holy God, your law is perfect and your statutes are trustworthy, and so we pray to you, knowing that you will hear our prayers and answer them in your way. We pray for all people who seek to follow your way in their lives. Let your church speak your word of truth with confidence and in unity, so that those who are searching and listening will be able to see and hear clearly your message of love and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Creator God, we recognize our part in the tensions and injustices of the world. Heal the resentment between people and intervene in the world's conflicts. Help us to walk humbly with you at our side when we come to the crossroads and have to choose which way to go to lead us in the path of justice and righteousness, while steering away from the road that leads to selfishness and sin. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love we share with our families and our friends. We recognize they may have faults and they love us in spite of ours. Help us to be flexible and adaptable in all of our relationships, and also capable of accepting constructive criticism. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, we pray for those who you have called to the study and practice of medicine, healing, and to the prevention of disease and pain. Strengthen them as they follow Jesus' example, that through their ministries, the health of the community may be promoted and your creation glorified. We now name before you those who we know and love who need healing in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you sent to earth your Son, Jesus Christ, so that in your power and love we might also have the gift of eternal life. Bless those whom we love that have departed this life with the gifts of your all-encompassing love and life eternal. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask you to lead us into the coming week. Help us to believe that you are close by us. Keep us from making mistakes, and help us to never disappoint you. When we face hard decisions or difficult work, when we enjoy ourselves and have fun with others, we may know that you share these times with us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Having heard from the word of God and having prayed together, let us stand and confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Come to me, says the Lord, and you will find rest for your soul. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 381. Make me a channel of your peace.
Amen.
Lord, help us to see what is eternally good and true, and having seen, to go on searching until we come to the joys of heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our service continues on page 5. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come forward to the rail to receive communion if they believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if you would rather receive just a blessing, please do still come forwards, and I would be glad to bless you. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. May the joy of the risen Lord be with you this day and evermore. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, and make us continually to be given to all good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. We have heard from the scriptures and sung our praise and worship, but elsewhere we have had some people doing something else. So what have you guys been up to this morning? Windmills? Yeah. And what's the story behind the windmills?
Start.
Psalm number one, a very good place to start. And so it's got the psalm on it. Have you drawn extra things onto them? Wonderful. And what's the main message from Psalm one? What's the main thing that you've taken from it? So Psalm one is a wonderful place to start with all our psalms. As indeed each of the psalms, I will keep on banging on about this, are wonderful, wonderful things for us to spend time with. It begins, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And so it encourages us to live our life rejoicing in all that God has done for us. And God moves amongst us, often in ways that we don't recognize. And the great thing about windmills is they give us a good example of how God works with us. Like the wind moves a windmill, the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. And although people might not know what's happening inside with the mill grinding and producing the grain, we can see that God is present with us, as he is present with Tiger Club. And it's wonderful to have you all present with us this morning. Thank you so much for all that you do. Let's say a prayer for these guys as we come towards the end of our service. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you delight in righteous people, and that you delight in teaching us and guiding us and shaping us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will move among Tiger Club as wind moves amongst the sails of windmills. May it be a sign for them that you are present with them. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you guys so much for what you have just shared with us. It's lovely to see that you are here and a part of our community. Before we stand and sing our last hymn, it's a hymn in which we give our offerings to God. And the reason we do it at the end is so that we have received from God first. We have come and done business, we've been forgiven of our sins, we have heard from the scriptures, we've had the edification from David, and we have tasted the promises of God's love in bread and wine. And the reason we ask for offerings at this point is because if you value what God has offered for us and you want it to continue, let us make that part of our worship by saying, God, take everything I am and have, and let it be used for thee. Which is fitting because our last hymn is number 519. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Would you please stand? Yeah. began by sharing the story of Edward Kilmer, the Sunday school teacher whose teachings would ripple through several different people, leading to the gospel being proclaimed to many people around the world. There was one person I mentioned in passing who captures my mind as well, and that was the local farmer who took Billy Graham and his other neighbours with him to go, piling them all up on the back of his truck. We are all local people. Let's see how many people we can pile up on our trucks and bring to the Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always and those whom you love, now and evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.